Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack the Tappet Brothers. We're broadcasting this week again, from the offices of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, we're going to have a little spelling lesson here. Obviously, we've spent a great deal of time on Harvard Square.
Everyone knows how to spell Harvard Square.
And everyone knows it's H-A-H-V-A-H-D. If everyone knows it, why do I have to repeat it?
You don't have to.
But we're getting all kinds of variations of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe. And as you know, people are sending in postcards to enter the Dewey, Cheatham & Howe Company Picnic Contest. And we've been seeing all these spellings.
So how would you spell Dewey, Cheatham & Howe?
Well, I know how I would spell it.
How is it spelled on our window?
It's gold leaf on the window of the firm.
I can see it right from here. E-W-O-H.
E-W-O-H? What?
M-A-H-T-E-E.
You're reading it upside
down. I'm reading it backwards. I'll go outside and read it to you.
It's three words. Dewey. Foist the void. D-E-W-E-Y. Like Thomas E., the guy that beat, what's his name?
Eisenhower.
Harry Truman in the presidential election.
Yes.
Cheatham. I don't know what Cheatham means, but it's spelled C-H-E-E-T-H-A-M. Like cheat ham.
Right, Cheatham.
And Howe. And Howe. Everyone knows how to spell Howe, but with an E on the end. H-O-W-E. Now, Stephen Boyd left the firm. Otherwise, it would still be Boyd, Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. But anyway, we'll tell you more about the Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe picnic in a little while, the company picnic. So stay tuned for that. But if you have a question about your car and you'd like to call us, the number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, this is Jimmy Grubbs in Omega, Georgia.
Hi, Jimmy.
Omega, Georgia.
Omega, Georgia.
That's the living end, isn't it, Omega?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So what's happening, Jimmy?
Oh, my wife just loves y'all show. Something awful. I mean, she loves it.
It is something awful, isn't it?
Oh.
Did she force you to call us, did she, Jimmy?
Oh, help the gun on me.
So what's up, Jimmy?
I have a 79 Chevrolet pickup truck, and the fuel pump, the original one, worked for about 100,000 miles, and then since then I've been having to put one on about every 3,000 to 6,000 or 7,000 miles.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
And what happens when they stop pumping with enough pressure and the thing just won't run?
Yeah, you can take it off and the arm doesn't work either. You know, the spring or something doesn't work inside the pump. It doesn't operate the diaphragm.
Where are you getting these pumps?
I'm getting them at the Auto Parts place.
Wow.
But you're not necessarily getting them from the dealer.
No.
But you say the pump is no longer any good? In other words, you cannot operate the pump manually?
No, you cannot take it off and operate it manually. The lever's locked up whenever you take it off.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of, I had an answer all ready for you. I had a great answer.
What? What was your answer?
Well, it's the wrong answer, but you want to hear it anyway because
sure.
It was really elegant.
Yeah, I like it.
See,
I mean, besides being wrong, have it never stopped you before?
No. When you said you had replaced these fuel pumps one after another, I immediately thought that what was wrong was that the lobe on the camshaft that drives the fuel pump was all worn out. So only when the pump was brand new was it working well enough because the lobe was all worn out to actually pump enough fuel to the carburetor.
You know how the thing works, right, Jimmy?
Yeah,
that little arm sits right on a little cam,
right.
And as the camshaft spins around, it goes up and down and makes this little thing go chucka 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 chucka, and then it pumps gas.
Yeah.
So this would have been a great answer.
I was prepared to receive all the accolades required for this answer,
but
I'll
wrong.
Have to rethink it now.
But so the second answer, I would think the second answer would be that all these pumps are defective and it's got nothing to do with your truck.
I don't think so. How many pumps are we talking about here, Jim?
Oh, I keep a spare with me all the time. I mean, it's like probably a dozen pumps.
Oh, then that I take back that answer.
Yeah, that's good.
If it had been two, I might have gone with the defective pumps answer.
Well,
let's go for two.
I don't know what the answer is, but it's clearly something is wrong with the engine that's damaging the pumps. Okay, now, the real question is, do you want to fix it? Do you want to fix the pump or not? And I would recommend that you don't fix the engine.
No.
No.
What, do you think it's on warranty? It's a 79.
No, I would recommend the following, that you have your handy-dandy machine shop make you a little plate that's the size of that hole in the timing case cover.
Plant it right on there.
And cover that thing right up and put an electric fuel pump in this thing.
Okay, it has three lines going to it. What do you do with the other two lines?
Well, one is in, one is out, and the other one's a spare. No, the third line is a return line to the tank.
Okay.
Okay, you don't need that.
Right.
You can just plug that one up, and you're going to have you may be able to get a fuel pump with a return line, but it's not necessary, because the fuel pump pressure is going to be constant with an electric pump, where it varies with a mechanical pump because it's driven by the engine.
Right.
So you don't need a return line. You need one line in from the gas tank and one line out to the carburetor.
Okay.
And that's all you need. You can mount that thing right under the hood someplace where it's easy to get to. And you can hook it up so that it only comes on when the key is on, and you'll be all set.
Well, that sounds great.
Jimmy, what do you do for a living?
I teach.
You teach? What do you teach?
I teach mechanics.
You do? Well, why did you call us?
Tractor mechanics.
Oh, diesels.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have this kind of pump in diesel.
Yeah, we do. Sort of.
Well, so you have, yeah, but you have a real fuel pump.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what you have? I know what the answer is. I know what's wrong with this thing.
It came to you?
Yeah, it just came to me.
A revelation?
Yeah, yeah. You have too much play in the camshaft. The camshaft has too much thrust moving in and out, and what's happening is...
Whoa, it's wearing out the
cam. The cam gear, no, the cam gear is eventually going too far forward, and it's catching the arm of the pump and jamming it. That's what's wrong.
That sounds possible.
Yeah, that's what's going on with it.
It's got 180,000.
Yeah, I was going to say it's probably a real beast by now, but it's, you know, for 1979, but that's what it is. It only took me 25 minutes to get there. thanks for being patient.
I like the electric pump idea. When in doubt,
just electrify.
Electrify.
Okay. I'll
see you, Jim. Thanks
good luck,
for your Jim. Call.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There's more coming up right after the following messages.
Hey, did we get any interesting postcards this week? I mean, I saw you standing in the barrel before the show.
I was washing my feet.
Anyway, we're having a big listener party here in our Fair City in June, the Dewey, Cheatham & Howe Company Picnic. And, of course, we've asked people to tell us in 25 words or fewer why they want to come. And here are a few of the cards.
I have a few.
That we've gotten from listeners.
Here's one from John.
Read some good stuff.
John Bruzzoni of Alameda, California. I want to attend the DCH company picnic because I want to shake the hands of two gentlemen who have gone further with less talent than anyone I know.
What a guy.
Who's he talking about? Yep.
Doug and Ken, I think.
She was furious. It's me or Car Talk, she said. I miss her now and then. See you at the picnic. I'll bring guacamole. From Mark Hoffman of someplace in Detroit. We don't know.
Oh, here's one from Will Mayo of Rockville, Virginia. He says, in 25 words or less, I want to attend the Dewey, he spelled it wrong, Dewey, Cheatham & Howe Company picnic because I am buck naked.
Here's one from Howard Eisenberg. It says, I am actually the dean of a law school.
Mm.
If I talk to the members of your firm for 5 or 10 minutes on legal ethics, parentheses, talk about your oxymorons, then DC&H can write the whole picnic off as an educational expense. P.S., it's very difficult to attach a $100 bill to a postcard, so if there's no money attached, it must have gotten lost in the mail. That's
right.
A typical lawyer trick. So that's it. Not especially...
brilliant, but there's still time yet. And if you haven't entered the Dewey, Cheatham & Howe Company Picnic Contest yet, you better hurry up because the deadline is June 1st.
Ooh.
June 1st.
That's coming up real quickly.
And we'll tell you how to do that soon. So
yeah, and you don't have to do anything as clever as these postcards. All you have to do is be able to write your name on a postcard, basically. And that's
it. Some of them didn't even do that. Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, the number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Janet. I'm going from Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Janet.
Hi.
Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
Is that Portland with a P?
That's Portland with a P.
Okay, just checking. What's up?
Well, I have a 1984 four-wheel drive Toyota pickup that I've had since it was new.
Mm.
And A while ago, it started making this awful thumping noise when I would back up, and it felt like a flat tire, but it wasn't. And at the same time, my clutch was going bad. The car has 107,000 miles on it, and I had never had the clutch replaced. So I took it in, and they thought that replacing the clutch would take care of that, and it fixed everything except the thumping when I back up.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it's about.
This is a four-wheel drive?
Uh-huh.
And the noise is coming from the front or the back?
Well, I sort of have the sensation it's coming from the middle.
Does
that not make sense?
Is it a boom, 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 boom noise, or is it just one time?
It's boom, boom, boom.
It's boom, boom, boom.
With every rotation, you get one bump, and it sounds
sure.
like a drum beat, like it's this real deep beat.
And it sounds like it's coming right from underneath you.
That's because it is.
Because, like, something's banging on the floor of the truck. Yeah.
It's coming from the transmission.
Maybe so.
Yeah. Can you make the noise change if you put it in four-wheel drive?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Well, I can try that. I just have not put it in four-wheel drive since they changed the clutch.
And they did this clutch a while ago. Did they have any explanation for this? Obviously, we have none.
Well, they thought that it was going to be fixed when the clutch was changed.
Well, they were dreaming on that one.
And we often tell customers the same thing. Otherwise, they won't do the job. You know, oh, yeah, it's going to fix everything. We'll pay your home mortgage. Don't worry about a thing.
The air conditioner will start working. The
right.
paint job will get better.
And it won't rain anymore.
Right.
So promise them anything, as long as they do the job. But it may be that they knew, but maybe they didn't know. Maybe they knew it wasn't going to fix it.
No, they knew it wasn't.
I suspect the problem is coming out of the transmission itself, and there's probably something wrong with your reverse gear. And that's what the boom, boom, boom.
It's not what it sounds like to me.
That's what it sounds like to me. It actually sounds like it's coming out of the transfer case.
Okay.
It could be coming out of the transfer case. It could be coming right out of the transmission, or it could be coming out of the locking hubs.
Have you ever heard a noise coming from metallic things?
I've never heard a noise I didn't like.
Have you ever heard a noise coming from metallic things like gears in a transfer case that was described as a thump?
Yes.
Be careful with this one now.
Janet, are you busy right now?
No, not at all.
Run out and try this. We'll wait.
Try what? What are you going to ask her to do?
She's going to back it up in four-wheel drive.
Oh, okay. What's that going to prove?
I don't know, but it'll kill some time.
What, do we need coffee?
I want to know if it does it in four-wheel drive and in two-wheel drive, too. We know it does it in two-wheel drive. I want to see if the noise goes away in four-wheel drive, because I believe with the...
Of course it won't.
Go ahead. We'll check.
Can you go check it? We'll hold.
We'll put you on hold. We'll take another call. My brother has to get a haircut anyway. And we'll come back to you in 5 minutes.
Okay, Janet, we'll put you on hold.
Okay.
Are we ready? 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is John Little. I'm calling from Springfield, Illinois.
John Little.
Yes, sir.
You know, there is a Springfield in every single state in the United States.
I think we have that singular distinction, yes.
Yes, we do.
So what's up, John?
Well, gentlemen, I have a 1986 Oldsmobile Calais Coupe. It has almost 100,000 miles on it, and the particular model that I purchased has the 5-speed manual transmission. The problem that I'm having is a steering problem, most notably making left and right-hand turns. When I disengage the clutch, going into a turn and begin to shift into a lower gear, as I'm making the turn and the clutch is disengaged, the steering wheel has a tendency of wanting to lock up, as though I've lost my power steering. It's most noticeable on damp days following a rain or snowstorm, and it's especially noticeable when I'm making right-hand turns. It also seems to enjoy locking up when the car is in a position where it's moving either directly towards large stationary objects or other cars, which makes driving to work interesting in the mornings. But
I bet it does. I bet it does. Well, the fact that you said that it happens on wet days would lead me to believe that what's really happening is the steering isn't locking up as much as it's getting very difficult. And the reason it's getting difficult is you're losing and then regaining your power steering. And when you're losing
you're temporarily losing it.
Huh?
Have your friends mentioned this to you?
And when you lose it, it seems like it's locking up because the amount of effort it takes without the power steering is considerable. So it seems to you like you've lost your steering or it's locked up, but what you've really lost is just the power steering part of it. And the reason I suspect that that's happening is that your belt is slipping.
Uh-huh.
So if you, and it's most likely to happen.
And the clue was the wet weather.
The wet weather and the fact that you've stuck the clutch pedal in and the engine is idling. It's turning very slowly. Next time this happens, okay, rev up the engine as you're going through this turn and your power steering will come right back.
Because either that or you'll go right into that wall that's in front of you.
Right, even though the belt is slipping, if you rev it, you'll make it slip less and your steering will come back. And that will verify that that's, in fact, what's going on.
And the fix is just to have the belt tightened up.
Great.
Or replaced. The belt may just be old and glazed. But if it's an 86 and you've got 1.5 million miles on it, it might be time to change the belts.
It may very well be.
All righty.
That sounds easy, John.
Yeah, too easy. It's probably wrong. See you later.
Thank you.
Okay, we have Janet waiting here. We have Janet. Is she back from her test?
I'm back.
Oh, you're back.
She's back.
All right, let's just give a quick recap here for those people that may have gone out for a salami sandwich.
They napped. People nap during the middle
of
the show.
Janet has an 84 four-wheel drive Toyota pickup.
You remembered that?
No, I wrote it down. Oh. And she has a thumping noise when she backs up. Is that right?
That's correct.
And I wanted to know if the noise was there when you backed up in two-wheel drive only or two-wheel drive and four-wheel
and
drive.
And I'm going to predict that, of course, it's there when she backs up in four-wheel drive.
So we asked Janet to put her on hold. We asked you to, right, Janet, you corroborate this. We asked you to go and try this. And?
Is there a little side bet here before she tells us?
Yeah, I bet you the 50 cents you won from me the last time.
So what's the answer?
Oh, gosh, you mean I make an enemy and a friend all at once with this answer?
Yeah, what a deal, huh?
What happened is it was clunking, and then when I put it in four-wheel drive, it did not clunk.
Ha! Ha! My God! Janet! Didn't you get my check in the mail?
All right, pay up, you welcher.
Here's the 50 cents.
No, that's my 50 cents. Where's yours?
No, that's the 50 cents I won for you last time.
All right. All I did was make back
all
my
right,
own money.
All right, now, what's the theory here? I don't get it.
You don't get it? You don't either,
do you?
No,
you got that stupid look on your face that says,
I admit,
was lucky and I haven't got the faintest idea why.
Just stop talking so loud. I'm in the process of formulating a theory. Now, will you just cut me some slack here? I wasn't prepared for this answer, to tell you the truth.
I know you were.
God's honest
quiet
truth.
Theory in progress. All right.
I wasn't prepared for that answer,
she
but...
puts it into four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
See, that's why I bet against this, because there was no theory to answer it.
The noise is not coming from the back of the vehicle. Nor is it even coming from the middle. The noise is actually coming from the front.
It is. Okay.
It is.
Okay.
The noise is coming from the front and is being transmitted down the front drive shaft, and the noise is coming from... Janet, I don't know where the noise is coming from. Boy, it sounded... You know, when I was younger, I used to be able to pull these babies right out.
How did I know that you had no idea?
Wasn't I the one that bet it was going to be there?
Yeah, I don't remember. Guys, what about this for an idea, though?
Yeah, do you have any ideas?
Well, you know, sometimes it doesn't do it in two-wheel drive, so maybe sometimes it would do it in four-wheel drive.
Yeah, sure. I'm prepared for that.
Can you come to Boston and do this show for us?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad we solved that problem.
Boy, I'll tell you, that was a toughie. I don't know where the noise is coming from. And like I said, I was really unprepared for your answer, Jenna. You kind of took me by surprise.
No, but I go back to my original suggestion, which is take it back to the shop, have them put it up on the lift, and the noise will occur, and they'll be standing right there, and they'll be able to see and hear where the noise is. They're going to see things move around, I'll bet you.
No, the noise is coming from the front hubs, and because they're not releasing. And when you're backing up, that's where you're getting the noise
from.
And
if that's true...
And that's why when you put it in four-wheel drive and you make all that stuff turn, you don't get the noise.
If he's got it up in the air, though, the tires aren't
going to... That's why it's not going to make the noise up in the air.
That's what I started to say.
He's tried to do this already, and he was unable to do it because the front wheels aren't turning. But maybe if he puts it in four-wheel drive and he can get, take it out of four-wheel drive, maybe he can get the thing to make noise. What he's going to have to do is lash somebody to one of the fenders. The only thing that works in these cases, if he doesn't have a chassis dyno, then he's going to have to go ahead and strap one of the lesser mechanics, one of the guys that's close to retirement age. So either that or one of the old gaffers.
Yeah, right. Someone who's dispensable.
Yeah, one of those guys that's down to three or four teeth. They don't last long when they get to that point. But they'll find out that that's where it's coming from. It's coming from your four-wheel drive. It's coming from the front hubs.
Okay.
That's my guess.
Great.
And it is a guess.
Thanks for your call,
Thanks,
Janet.
Janet.
You've been a million laughs. See ya.
Okay.
Bye-bye. There's a lot more stuff coming up right after the following messages, so stick around. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car
Don't
Talk.
Don't yell, will you? I'm trying to get some sleep here.
You're listening to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers. And we're here to try to answer your questions about cars and car repair and the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yes. Now, you may recall that many weeks ago, in fact, when we were discussing our pal Lavoisier, Antoine Lavoisier, Antoine Sac du Gas, whoopee cushion Lavoisier, mentioned that he had been guillotined, right?
Guillotined! Oui!
Right. And we also, someone wrote us a letter, I think it was last week, saying that he or she had looked up Lavoisier in the Encyclopedia Britannica, and indeed, it had made no mention of the whoopee cushion or the fact that he had been guillotined.
Well, I have it on good authority. You know, I was in France recently.
Yes, I know that.
Yes, I did.
Did you bump into old Antoine?
No, I didn't, but I never mind.
Never mind. Well, we have a letter from none other than the editor-in-chief of the Encyclopedia Britannica, spelled with the A and the E, diphthong, as we call it. I hope that's right.
Yes, you know, they had to change that spelling for Jiminy Cricket because he couldn't get it in those...
No, is that right? No kidding.
I remember the Walt Disney show, The Encyclopedia, E-N-C-Y-C-L-O-P-E-D-I-A, and he couldn't do it with the A-E.
Oh, that's right.
Good old Jiminy.
You are a well-rounded...
I'm an encyclopedia.
you're a well-rounded educator,
I am.
You know? Dear sirs.
Ooh. Yes. And madam.
We were dismayed to learn in your broadcast that from your reading of the Encyclopedia Britannica, you had been unable to determine whether Antoine Laurent Lavoisier had met his death on La Veuve, the guillotine, and what, if any, had been his connection to the whoopee cushion.
No, it wasn't our...
No, it wasn't. That's right. Certainly, the former item is sadly true. Coincidentally, it was on May 8th, 1794, 199 years to the day before your broadcast, that Monsieur Lavoisier was dispatched by the terrorists. On the occasion, the mathematician Joseph-Louis Lagrange, remember him?
Oh,
Lagrange
transformation.
Yes.
Oh, sure.
Commented, it required only a moment to sever that head, and perhaps a century will not be sufficient to produce another like.
Oh, it's kind of like Humpty Dumpty, right?
Ooh, yeah. Ho, ho, ho. The circumstances of his demise will be found in the biography of Lavoisier in volume 22, pages 841 to 842, copy attached. There it is. See it? Now here comes the apology. We must admit, however, that the ES, the ES, ES, EB, I was going to say ES, short for Encyclopedia Britannica, the EB does not presently include coverage of the whoopee cushion or its provenance, however distinguished. No doubt your report is based on exciting new evidence. If you or any of your listeners would be so kind as to forward proof of a connection between the whoopee cushion and Monsieur Lavoisier, Britannica's editors will be happy to entertain the possibility of its inclusion in a forthcoming...
Well, let me scan the article there.
Revision.
Well, I'm quite touched by that.
Wow.
But that's almost a vindication
Bob
for
McHenry,
having...
Bob McHenry, editor-in-chief. I'm impressed that...
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah,
look
this
at
is
that.
Almost a vindication for having screwed up that thing with the Alamo, huh? But you ready for a call?
Yes.
1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is David Horton from Cambridge, Massachusetts.
No Cambridge. Kidding.
That with a C? Cambridge, our fair city?
Harvard Square.
You don't live in 02138, do you?
I certainly do.
My God. We could just open the window and talk to you.
You know how to spell Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe, don't you, David?
I certainly
do. You probably have seen our window.
That's right.
You certainly know how to spell.
I've been looking in that window and seeing very strange things.
How many days a week do you see Doug sleeping at his desk?
Probably 7 days a week.
7 days a week? Oh, then I guess he deserves the overtime.
So what's on your mind?
He told us he was in there weekends.
Well, I got a question for you. Yeah. I was just one of the five Boston contestants at the Wheel of Fortune down at the Wang Center.
No kidding.
And I ended up winning a brand new 93 Geo Prism.
No kidding.
Plus, I won a lot of cash. I won $41,545 altogether.
You know,
totally cool.
Now, wait a minute.
I thought your name was familiar. Didn't I read your name in the paper just the other day?
Yeah, the Boston Globe.
That's right. When you said David Horton, I said, why is that name familiar?
You won in excess of $40,000. How long did it take before the IRS was all over you like a cheap suit?
I mean, Not long. They already told us before we even got on the taping.
Oh, thank you. They're very proactive.
Did they have you fill out a W-2 before you even go on stage?
In case you should win anything, you owe us.
Yeah, you have to sign enough paperwork. It's like buying a home. It's really funny.
So now you have this 93 Geo Prism.
Right.
And you want to know if you should trade in this thing and buy yourself a fancy car with all the dough you have.
Well, what I'm trying to decide is I have a 91 Toyota Corolla, four-door, deluxe model. It has about 30,000 miles. It's a great car. And I'm trying to decide if I should keep the 91 Toyota or keep the Geo Prism.
Well, Dave, I gotta tell you, really...
You should explain to other people who are listening that Wheel of Fortune evidently travels around the show Wheel of Fortune with our girl, Vanna White.
That's right. And she's
travels around the country, and it was just recently in our fair city of Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Boston, actually.
No, in Boston, right. And David Horton won all this money... When Van, did you buy any vowels?
Yes, I did. I bought a lot of vowels.
No kidding.
It was great.
What vowels?
I'm going to tell you a little story, Dave, and maybe this might help too.
Does it have to do with brushing your teeth? I'm sick of that story.
No, this may influence your decision. We have our staff is rather large here, and you may have heard us from time to time refer to different members of the staff. One of whom is Jennifer Jiffy Loeb. Now, some time ago, she purchased with her hard-earned money, and she works very hard for her money and doesn't make much here. I mean, working, you know, as an assistant to Doug and Ken, and I mean, they make her do all the hard work, and they don't pay her anything. And she had saved her pennies, and didn't she go out and buy herself a nice Toyota Corolla that got stolen?
Are you kidding?
No, sad but true.
This is a sad story.
And just the other day, she was saying, you know what I really need? I need a 91 Corolla.
I need someone to give me.
How about to make me an offer?
Well, I mean, here's a guy with $41,000 that he didn't know he was going to have, and two cars, both of which are Toyota Corollas.
Well, yeah, the Geo Prism, I guess, is made on the same assembly line as the Toyota.
Yeah, exactly. The only thing it has that the 91 doesn't have is an airbag.
That's true.
That's right.
Yeah, and fewer miles.
That's
we
correct.
Can fix you up with Jiffy if you're interested, and she could test drive the car.
Well, the other thing
she's looking for a few good men.
I found out 2 days ago that if I have to pick it up within 120 days.
Okay.
And the dealer told me that if I wait until the beginning of September, the 94 models will be out, and the Wheel of Fortune had given permission to accept the 94.
Oh.
So now we're looking at a 94.
Now we're looking at a 94.
My question is, as far as retail value and whatnot on the cars, I didn't know if it was better to keep the Toyota or to sell the Geo Prism.
Well, will they give you money instead of the Prism? Well,
I have to take it off the lot.
You have to take it off the lot.
Sales tax, and once I'm off the lot, I can sell it to...
Oh, I see your question, and the answer is obvious. You sell the 91.
Sell the 91.
I think so, because the 91 will have depreciated... percentage-wise, less than the 93 will depreciate by the time you drive it off the lot.
Okay.
I think so.
Oh, I think you should keep the 93 only because it will, or 94, because it will have an airbag and the 91 doesn't.
That's another good reason, too.
Yep, sure.
True.
Right.
And I mean,
Jennifer's prepared. She has her checkbook out now. I can see her. She's getting ready to write.
phone number.
I'll give you a home phone number.
Oh, I'm single and available.
Isn't that interesting? So is she.
Excellent. How old is she?
She's 26.
Excellent. Great.
How old are you, David?
35.
35?
Perfect.
Perfect. Whatever you said, it was going to be perfect.
That's perfect. How tall are you, David?
5'8".
Too tall.
5'8".
Jennifer's 4'1".
5'8", 170 pounds. Dark hair and eyes. I'm like a bronze goddess.
Have you seen my pictures? You sort of look a little like me. Hey, David, thanks a million
and
for calling.
And congratulations.
Thanks a lot.
Very, yeah, good
very
for
good
you.
Work.
Thanks.
Keep up those vowels. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
Well, one more hour of your precious youth has been frittered away listening to Car Talk. What is a fritter, anyway?
Oh, it's about...
Our producer is Doug Lavoisier, Sac du Gas Bourbon. Our associate producer and dean of the College of Automusicology is Ken Babyface Rogers. Our engineer and assistant producer is Jennifer Jiffy Loeb, who's soon going to have a new car. Mm. Our technical advisor is the 40-year...
And a new boyfriend.
And six-week-old John Bugsy Lawler. Lucky guy.
40 years and 6 weeks.
The boyfriend, that is. I wasn't talking about Bugsy.
He looks much older than that, doesn't he?
He does. And he stayed awake for the whole show today, too. Isn't that something?
He's led a life of such...
debauchery.
Debauchery. God.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research. Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender. Our communications director is George Stay on Top of This. Our secretary of pain relief is Les Aspirin. Our director of programming is Sumner Reruns. Our staff disciplinarian is Les Stern. Our head of security is Barb Dwyer. Our director of long-range strategic planning is Kay Sarah, who's married to Frank Sarah. And now her monogram luggage says KSS4. Our staff geneticist is Dr. Gene Poole. Our transportation coordinator, of course, is Rick Shaw. The manager of the Tappan Brothers Capital Depreciation Fund, fresh out of prison, is Les Ismore. And the chairman of our math department is
Horatio. He calls it summer camp.
Horatio Algebra. Mr. Gigi does our hair. And last and certainly least, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is U. Louis Dewey, known to the other bums in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. We're Click and Clack, the Tappan Brothers. Thanks for listening, and don't drive like my
brother.
Don't
drive like my brother.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And although it doesn't sound like it while we're on, this is NPR, National Public Radio.